Please all rise for the Right Honourable the Lord Mayor of Perth, Mr. Basil Zemplis.
Thank you, everybody. Good afternoon. Can I welcome everybody to the City of Perth October Ordinary Council meeting and formally declare the meeting open at exactly 5 p.m. I respectfully acknowledge the traditional owners of the land upon which we meet, the Whadjuk Noongar people of Western Australia, and pay my respects to elders past, present and emerging. It is indeed a great privilege and pleasure to be standing on Whadjuk Noongar country. CEO, can I ask you now to recite the prayer, please?
Almighty God, under whose providence we hold responsibility for this city, grant us wisdom to understand its present needs, foresight to anticipate its future growth, and grace to serve our fellow citizens with integrity and selfless devotion, and to thee be all blessing and glory forever. Amen.
Thank you, everybody. Please be seated. So let's begin with attendance, and in attendance today we have Deputy Lord Mayor Di Bain, Councillor Sandy Angie, Councillor Clyde Bevan, Councillor Brent Fleeton, Councillor Liam Gobbett, Councillor Rebecca Gordon, Councillor Victor Coe, Councillor Catherine Leeser. In addition, I welcome officers, members of the public and any media in attendance. And I might take this opportunity to say that this is the start of a new era in City of Perth Council meetings. For the first time, we are live streaming, and the live stream is available, obviously, to any member of the public anywhere in Perth, Western Australia, Australia, anywhere in the world. Anyone with an interest in the affairs of the City of Perth can now tune in live as it happens. And I'd like to thank our technical team for getting us to this point. Many of you will know that there was an exhaustive period of testing, including approximately 32 seconds before we started tonight. But the good news is we're up and running, and obviously the live stream will then sit in perpetuity. Well, not quite perpetuity, but it'll be there for a long time, and anybody will be able to go over the council meeting at their leisure. So it is excellent that we've been able to make this advancement. There have been no apologies received. Item 3.2 is leave of absence. There are no elected members currently on an approved leave of absence. And do any elected members have an application for a leave of absence? No? Thank you. We're going to move to item 4, which is announcements by the Lord Mayor. There are a few today, so I will ask you to get comfortable and take a moment to reflect. And actually, a moment of reflection is appropriate as we begin. This morning, many of us will have heard the sad news that Russell Wolfe, respected broadcaster with the ABC, died during his sleep in the early hours of this morning. Russell was the ABC breakfast host. He was enormously interested and invested in the goings-on and affairs of the City of Perth. He was, of course, also for a period TV weatherman with ABC TV. The ABC itself, a long-time home in the City of Perth, firstly on Adelaide Terrace, as we all know, and now more recently in East Perth. I know that Deputy Lord Mayor Di Bain worked with Russell for a good period of time at the ABC, and Russell and I began our careers together on community radio, and we would appear on each other's programs. Russell was a good bloke. He was a good fella. He was much respected and loved in our community. He had a style all of his own, and he was an amazing part of the ABC here in Perth. And as we pay our respects to him and the great legacy that he leaves, we remember his family and acknowledge them, and we might just take a moment's reflection for Russell. Thank you, everybody, and I know that our friends at the ABC will appreciate that greatly on Russell's behalf, and obviously Russell's family. We wish them all the very best in their time of grief. I'd like to move to happier news, obviously, and that is the election of our new council. It gives me great pleasure to congratulate and welcome our new councillors, which, of course, in effect, is welcoming back our four councillors who were up for election. That is Councillors Fleeton, Councillors Bevan, Councillor Gobbett and Councillor Coe. A great endorsement for the work of our group in the first 12 months. And to have four out of four of our incumbents return, I think speaks volumes for the work that has been done and is being done in our community. And more to that point, I think the way that that work is being done. As I did at our special council meeting last week, I also want to take this opportunity to congratulate and thank all of those candidates who put their hand up to run for the four council positions that were vacant. It takes not only courage, but in particular, a dedication and a commitment to the city and to our fellow ratepayers and to all of those people. One, I think I noticed, is that Raj? Yeah, Raj, one of whom is here tonight. Raj, congratulations to you and our fellow council candidates who were not successful. As I said, it makes us all better having an invested group who want to be a part of the City of Perth and represent the ratepayers. And I thank all of those people who put their hands up, and I particularly congratulate Councillors Fleeton, Bevan, Gobbett and co. There is much work still to do, we know that, but the job has begun. It's begun in good style, and it's wonderful to get at least the next 2 years together as a group to keep working towards delivering for our ratepayers. And later this week, a document will go out from the City of Perth which outlines some of our achievements over the 12 months. And there are numerous to mention, and I won't take this opportunity to mention them now. But I think more importantly, even than what has been achieved, and as I said, that communication will come out at the end of this week as we mark 12 months in office, but more so, it's the way that it has been achieved. We have worked together professionally, transparently, cohesively, and respectfully, really importantly, respectfully. And we've got lots done, and we've got it done in the manner that which would be expected of a capital city council, but most importantly, that we expect of ourselves, and I'd like to thank our fellow councillors for working in that manner. I'd also like to take this opportunity again to thank Councillor Angie for her tireless work in our first 12 months and her period of 12 months in office as Deputy Lord Mayor. It was an outstanding contribution. And Sandy, I'd like to thank you personally for the great assistance you gave me as Lord Mayor. You've been a champion for our city in that 12 months. I know that work will continue, and I know our ratepayers know that that work will continue. But thank you greatly from all of us for your significant contribution to our first 12 months together. Can I also take this opportunity again to congratulate our new Deputy Lord Mayor, Di Bain. Di, as you know, and I've had the opportunity to express several times, I'm very much looking forward to working with Di. That's a partnership that has already begun. We've intended ratepayer meetings, a stakeholder lunch, and a freedom of entry celebration in just the last few days. It's down to work and down to work immediately, and I am very much looking forward to working side by side in partnership with Councillor and now Deputy Lord Mayor Bain. I mentioned the transparency in my announcement there at the start, and of that transparency, and what we heard at the special council meeting last Tuesday was the desire from a majority of council to rotate the Deputy Lord Mayor's position every 12 months. And on that basis, the Deputy Lord Mayor has indicated that she will step down in October of next year, or at the appropriate point towards October of next year, to allow another councillor the opportunity to step up. You can't get more team-oriented than that. Deputy Lord Mayor Bain, congratulations. We look forward to working closely together over the next 12 months. And again, I congratulate you and thank you. Safety in our city and in our community remains this council's number one priority. On most days, you've heard me say this before, our city remains the friendly and welcoming environment that we all expect it to be. But as we know, particularly our councillors who have been out in election mode, speaking to ratepayers frequently, every day, as we all know, on the bad days, at the wrong time, in the wrong place, people do not always feel safe. And this is not a situation that any of the City of Perth councillors are satisfied with. For that reason, earlier this month, I wrote to local government minister John Carey and wrote separately to the Premier to inform him of my correspondence with the minister. And in that correspondence, I requested the state government support the city's proposal to reinvest the balance owing of $4.2 million for the City of Perth inquiry, and that they support that balance owing being reimbursed towards critical safety initiatives in our city. Essentially, we're asking the state government to allow us to spend City of Perth ratepayers' money on the safety of City of Perth ratepayers, business owners and operators, residents and visitors. Heard in the letter to correspondence dated 30 November 2020 from the former Minister for Local Government, David Templeman, which stated that the state government was, and I quote, open to working with the city to identify and negotiate that a portion of funds recouped may be invested on shared priority initiatives. There is no more pressing shared priority initiative than safety in our city. And with the support of the state government, the $4.2 million would be meaningfully used by the city to fund the following. An increase in Safe City Security Patrol officers to improve visibility and community access to safety services in high priority areas in the order of $1.6 million. The installation of additional CCTV cameras in safety and crime hotspots like the CBD, Northbridge, West Perth and East Perth to the tune of around $1.3 million. The delivery of youth intervention programs and preventative measures for people affected by drugs and alcohol in the order of around $500,000. An increase in assertive cultural outreach services, again, in the order of around $500,000. And the implementation of recommendations from the recent Crowded Places Security Audit to reduce the risk of terrorism and other hostile events to the tune of around $1.4 million. I've got to say, most hopeful of a positive outcome. As we all know, no Premier has made a higher priority of the safety of his or her citizens than our Premier, Premier Mark McGowan. And clearly, the local government minister, as the member for Perth, is well aware of the safety issues we need help addressing. Again, safety is this council's number one priority, and the one that $4.2 million of ratepayers' money reimbursed would go a long way to helping us address. And I look forward to hearing back from that correspondence in the very near future. At that point, announcements are done, and we move to item 5, public participation. Item 5.1, public questions. No public questions have been received in advance. We have just received one recently. So this is from the floor?
Yes.
Okay. So could I call on Chris Wally? Is Chris here? Chris, hi. If you'd like to step forward, I'll remind you that we need your name. Yeah. Your address, which we have here, but I'd like you to state.
Yeah, so my name's Chris Wally. I'm from Mandurah.
And we need you to keep it to 10 minutes as a maximum. Thank you.
Okay. I've been in this... I've been spending Christmas and New Year period in Perth for about, say, 25, 30 years now. And during that time, I've always gone to the Nativity plays, which have taken place in Forest Chase, along with the IGA Carlsbad Cannon Lake concerts at the Jubilee Gardens. But during the last 3 years, unfortunately, those events have not happened. The first time was largely because of lousy weather. It was just too wet to have any open-air concerts. But the year before last, plus last year, we've been going through this pandemic crisis, and as a result, there's been no open-air concerts of any description whatsoever anywhere. But I'm asking my question to council is this. Does the Perth City Council have any plans at all to resurrect the Nativity Play concerts happening in Forest Chase this year and the week before Christmas Eve, plus the IGA Carols by Candlelight concerts at either Jubilee Gardens or Langley Park? Mm-hmm. Langley Park was the last place they had them, simply because it's a bigger venue where more people could gather. Thank you.
Chris, thank you. I'll in part answer that question. One of our achievements, which will go out in our circular on Friday, was the resurrection of the Nativity production last year, and the Nativity production is again part of our Christmas offering this year. I'll invite the CEO to refer to the relevant general manager, but can I also add to that that our Christmas Lights Trail, in my opinion, is the best community event that is offered in this state. It is absolutely breathtaking. And to see the number of families enjoying our city at a wonderful time of the year together, it goes a long way to addressing some of the antisocial issues that I mentioned earlier, but also it is a time to be in the city of Perth. And it was breathtaking and spectacular to see so many families making the most of our Christmas lights trial. That's personally from me, but CEO, if I could refer to you, please.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. Mr. Wally, yes, the IGA Carols by Candlelight event was delivered by a third party, which at the time was Variety WA, and the city is not aware of any plans to deliver the event in 2021. However, we are pleased that we do have the nativity happening in Forest Place over the Christmas period. So thank you for the question.
Okay.
Thanks, Chris. Thanks for being here tonight.
We appreciate it very much. Thank you. Are there any further questions from the floor? Okay, thank you. We'll move to item 5.2, deputations. CEO, do we have any deputations tonight?
Yes, Lord Mayor. We have received two deputations, one in relation to item 12.2 and one in relation to item 12.3.
Thanks, CEO. Please be reminded there is a time limit for deputations. I think you're all well aware of what that time limit is, and I will remind you if we're getting close. I'll invite the first deputation to come forward. That is Mr. Rowan McDougall representing Curtin University and Miss Paula Taylor representing 32 Degrees South Group to please step forward to make your deputation for item 12.2. I can ask you all, so please, whoever is speaking, or if both of you are speaking, to give us your address. Thank you.
Thank you, and thank you for the opportunity to provide the deputation to you here this evening. I'll also acknowledge that we're meeting on Whadjuk land and pay respect to their elders past, present and emerging. As I don't have to convince you that Perth is a vibrant and connected and progressive city, and we all love living here. We've had a dream run with COVID and also with the resources sector. However, times are changing, and I think we all realise we need to look to future industries if we're going to maintain our outstanding standard of living. We've had a great partnership with the City of Perth over many years in building an event that attracts tech investors and entrepreneurs from across the country and the globe, representatives from Apple, Google, Twitter, Qualcomm, Microsoft, Facebook, Zynga, Snapchat, you name it, have been here to Perth and they've loved their experience in this city. They've been involved in WesTech events that have run in previous years and they've provided insight for the citizens of Perth into the global tech sector. Curtin's supported this event since inception and has invested over $1 million into building the program and are committed to its future. It's a highly inclusive and collaborative event that brings together the Perth tech community and this is towards a common goal of diversifying the economy here in Perth and in Western Australia. I think we can say that WesTech Fest is generally accepted as the premier tech community event in WA. However, we've struggled to break into a broader public awareness, and this is really where we need the help of the City of Perth with their ability to amplify the importance of this sector to the future of the city and the state. Now, there's no better example of what's possible with an event like WesTech Fest and the tech sector than the Canberra story, which I'm sure some of you are familiar with. Many of you know that this digital design company started here in Perth. What you might not know is that they pitched at a very early incarnation of WesTech Fest, and it was through the connections that were made at WesTech Fest that they met Bill Tai, who was one of our co-founders of the event, who provided the founders with access to early capital and the expertise to build a globally competitive product and company. Recently, you may have seen that Canberra raised $200 million at a $40 billion valuation. Now, just think about that for a minute. That is a valuation that's more than Wesfarmers, billions more than Fortescue, and almost twice the valuation of Woodside. This demonstrates the enormous value that investors place on future potential And we need to position Perth to capture some of that potential. Now, unfortunately, the Canberra founders decided that Perth wasn't the place for them and they relocated to Sydney. But Westech is aimed at building the ingredients and the culture that encourages tech companies to start and stay here in Perth to scale. We can build another Canva, and there are many startups that are being supported through the Westech Fest network right now that could follow a similar path. Companies like Health Engine, Spacedraft, Power Ledger, and VetChip are all companies that have potential to build into these unicorn-type companies and employ the numbers of people similar to the 2,000-plus people being employed by Canva today. To build a successful tech company, you need entrepreneurial spirit, you need smart investment capital, access to skilled people, and access to customers. Software platforms like the App Store now provide access to global markets almost immediately. Even the city of Perth has discovered that with streaming technology, you're able to reach a global audience relatively quickly, and COVID has certainly taught us that we can connect with our peers nationally and internationally from here in Perth while enjoying the beautiful environment that we do here in this town. Our universities are also producing graduates ready for tech sector jobs. I think we can say that WA abounds with entrepreneurial spirit and also the smart capital in the resources sector, but we need to diversify this interest into the tech sector if we're going to embrace the future. Westech is about raising the profile of the tech sector, inspiring the next generation of entrepreneurs, and building the capacity to support the start and growth of next generation businesses right here. We want Perth to continue to be recognised as the vibrant, connected and progressive city of the future that it is today. So thank you for your time, and we'd be very happy, Paula, Taylor and I, as a co-founder, to answer any questions you have about the event. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you, Ron. Well done and well delivered. And Paula, thank you for being here also. Do any councillors have any questions at Councillor Angie?
Thank you, Lord Mayor. First question is, just will the free events across the city proceed without the additional funding requested from the city? And what is the general implications of without not getting the additional funding requested?
Look, I think the reason to approach the city for increased funding is we believe the time is now to really scale the interest in this event. Coming out of the pandemic is a great opportunity for us to embrace some of these future industries and business opportunities right now. If we can get the profile for this event out to a broader audience, attract the attention of investors nationally and globally, and continue the relationships that we've been able to do, we see there's great potential to build and diversify the economy here, and we really need to start now. If we don't get the funding to scale, obviously we will continue with the event, but at a smaller level.
Yeah, just to add on to that, thank you for your question. We are doing a big push this year, one for diversity and inclusion, and we are launching Westech Women, and we'll be running that as a free event at the Woodside Auditorium. That is an event we're 100% committed to, and we'll go ahead with that. There will be some events we will need to scale back on. We have up to between 17 and 20 events in the city in planning, some confirmed already, and we will have to definitely scale back because just of resources. Also, we have a marketing plan ready to launch on the 3rd of November. We've hired a marketing manager, extensive digital strategy, and our aim is actually, as Rowan said, to reach a broader audience. That will need to be scaled back as well just because of funding. So there will be some cutback in the program, but some will definitely go ahead as planned.
Councillor Angie.
Thanks, Lord Mayor. One more question. What's the total cost of the event and what percentage was the original request?
So in terms of the budget, it was more than, I think it's 38%, is that correct, in terms of the grant for the City of Perth? In terms of the budget we manage, it's in excess of $200,000, but what we didn't include in the grant was the impact and expenditure of the third-party event as well. So it increases tenfold in terms of that. So I can't give you an exact answer, but we have 10 partner events in the city, so all, you know, coming together. We have created a festival in the city of Perth, and that's where we're at now. In terms of the budget for what we're, our expenditure, it's, yeah, I think over 200. Yeah.
I've got a question.
Yeah.
But Councillor Gordon's got a question also and had a hand up very quickly, and I like that.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. Just a question regarding how you will be expanding your reach this year in light of lack of travel into the state.
I can answer that. Okay, there's a number of initiatives. We're launching investor office hours. We have 15 VCs locked in, including local Perth VCs, but also on the East Coast representing the major funds, Blackbird, Airtree, One Ventures. So they will be doing 1.5 hour sessions with local founders. We'll be running some live at the main West Tech Fest conference at Beaumont and Mid Point, and the others will be run virtually. So that's one way. We're also streaming in international and national speakers as well as local. We'll have a hybrid event. And for the first time ever, we're launching this year. It's called the West Tech Fest Investor Network, and it's 10 angel investors, local investors, coming together, pooling $100,000 to support angel funding for local startups.
Councillor Gordon.
Thank you. Just a question then regarding the estimated attendance, sorry, of 3,300. Is that people in attendance in person, or that's the whole
it's in person because up to 20 events, it's easy to we can comfortably reach that number. The main event is 350. On average, most events are 200, 250.
Councillor Kai.
Thanks for coming to speak to us. I'm just curious, where do you get a lot of your money from? You say you budget $200,000 and you're asking us, but where does the money come from?
Every year we go and approach sponsors for support of the event. Over the years we've had sponsorship from a variety of different groups. This year we have Woodside, there's the US Consulate, there's the Australian Government have supported, the State Government have supported to a certain level. There's a number of corporates that are also supported at a modest level. So we try and operate the event through sponsorship every year.
And so on that, is there any government, state government funding?
Yes, there is. The state government, so through JETSI, are providing $20,000.
$20,000?
Yep.
$20,000.
Yes, and also I might add federal government, $10,000. Yeah.
We must say we've struggled to get the level of sponsorship that we believe the event warrants from the state government. Mm. It's been great to have their support, but if we look at similar events, say in the state of South Australia, Queensland, they're supported by the state government up to a level of around $500,000.
Gee, wow.
And absolutely, without the City of Perth support, the event wouldn't be where it is now, because the City of Perth has been a really much valued supporter for many, many years when the event was very small and hardly well known.
Well, that's great to hear. Just one final question from me, there may be others. Last year there was $50,000 cash support from the City of Perth. Do you recall what amount you asked for last year?
It was a 3-year, $50,000 for 3 years in a row, which is what we asked for.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Are there any further questions? Well, can I thank you both, Rowan and Paula, for your excellent deputation. Thank you very much. Thanks for being here. And thanks for the great event that you put on in our city. Can I just remind councillors, which I didn't then, but if any councillors have any questions of the admin in relation to any of these deputations, please reserve them until this item is open for debate. I'll now invite deputation number two, Mr. David Gonsalves and Mr. Paul Alain Hunt, who are representing the LGBTQI plus advisory group, to please step forward to make your deputation for item 12.3. Paul, if you would be so good, 10 minutes, as you know. Also, your address, if you don't mind.
676 Campbell Street, West Perth, Paul Elaine Hunt. I'd like to quickly start by acknowledging Intersex Awareness Day. And also how excited I am to be going to this event that was mentioned in the deputation just before me. At the core of our society and our ideals, as Perth residents and Australians more broadly, is not just democracy, but values. Values such as respect, tolerance, compassion, equality, opportunity, and the right to a fair go for all, no matter your creed, colour, sexuality, or gender. Today marks my 30th birthday. It also marks, almost to the day, the first time I told someone that I was gay, some 15 years ago. Growing up in Perth, these promises, respect, tolerance, compassion, equality, came true for me, for the most part. I was lucky enough to reconcile my challenges and to grow, and I still stand here before you today. I was all but just a child when I came out. It was thanks largely to the support of a at-then City of Perth-based youth centre that made that happen. The Freedom Centre, a community centre and a hub that was created as a safe space for LGBTI young people. LGBTI young people today face many of the challenges that I did age 15. It's now been more than a decade and a half since. We can all understand why this is a challenge. After all, our community is dealing with the consequences of generations of prejudice, ignorance, and even hatred. But it does not have to be this way. We can strive for better. We must strive for better. For our children, for our friends, for our families. This is not simply the City of Perth's responsibility, of course, but our state, our nation, and indeed our leaders and those with a far bigger voice than mine. The path that our community's youth face is steep. It is mountainous, but together we are making progress. This progress comes from our community, but also our supporters and leaders outside the rainbow. The City of Perth Council and management now have an opportunity to save lives, to change lives, to strive for a brighter, equitable, and a truly just future. We have this opportunity tonight by voting to pass this comprehensive document before us, a plan that promises equality, diversity, and inclusion for all. A plan and even a process that will become a beacon for other cities and states across Australia and, dare I even say it, internationally. The process of engagement with community is in a constructive and empowering way, and then delivering on it is a model that we should be very proud of. The document before you and the process it was built on is proof that the City of Perth has the capacity to listen to its constituents, businesses, residents, and reflects the diversity of this great capital city. A document which acknowledges the past and moves forward with respect, genuineness, and the air of leadership it deserves. True leadership is engaging. It listens and creates change from the bottom up. And it's one where I've been delighted to see the Lord Mayor give the ample space for this genuine approach to take root. I not only admire that, but it is a quality that should be replicated across the political divide at all other tiers of government. If we as a community can build on these processes in order to build the kind of grassroots solutions the City of Perth has produced, we would usher in a new era of change, not just for the LGBTIQA+ community, but provide hope for many others who could be activated to also partner with the city to reach outcomes that would benefit this entire state. It was unique that the LGBTIQA+ advisory group was only established last year, and within the space and time we found ourselves in, we were given the right amount of oxygen to flourish. We have listened to the community through gatherings, workshops, public submissions. Many of these saw our own efforts rewarded with 50 or so people turning up versus the single digits which were part of the earlier process. We have worked day and night, sometimes into the early mornings, as true community volunteers to produce this document and this plan for our community and for the City of Perth. We have accomplished something that many, even within our own community, were sceptical and thought to be unachievable, especially given the time frame. But we have, and we have done it together in partnership. The City of Perth, the community, the City of Perth Council. The Lord Mayor, Basil Zemplis, Deputy Mayor, Di Bain, Councillor and former Deputy Mayor, Sandy Angie, Councillors Brent Fleeton, Catherine Leeser, Rebecca Gordon, Clyde Bevan, Liam Gobbett, and of course Victor Coe. This is your plan as much as it is ours. We are ready to launch this plan, and we firmly believe that the Lord Mayor should be the one to bring the community together for this. When we launch this, it would be a momentous occasion if the Lord Mayor would join us for the physical event, if that's what we have. The launch is in about 5 weeks, so we'll have to act fairly quickly to make that happen. But as shown by the capability of this council, it can be fairly agile, especially with things like the grand final. you can do anything when you put your minds to it. Now, I'm aware of the time, sorry, but it is important to look back at what this process has yielded. Almost a year on, what are some of the lessons that we have learnt from this exercise to date? First off, that when a community comes together, acts together, thinks together, we can make change. However, it hasn't all been rainbows and sunshine, though I like to think some of my ties certainly provided some colour in the meetings. I won't lie, administration and bureaucracy has at times been challenging. This was a new group for the City of Perth. It was a new group for the City of Perth Council. It was a new process and a new vision of engaging with the community. And of course, you can expect some resistance because change, after all, can be difficult. It goes a little bit beyond that, however. It goes to the basic details of accountability. We have requested to obtain a budget expenditure report, but that is still to be provided. I was only recently made aware that the budget had been spent and not then rolled over. From a mere accountability standpoint, we do request that the budget and expenditure report is provided to the group on perhaps a quarterly basis, and maybe if we can see what it was, where the money actually went. Over the last financial year, that would be good too. Likewise, meetings themselves, we have always insisted that the agenda be finalised and sent out 7 days prior to the meeting as per our terms of reference. But we have found that our role in actively contributing to this draft has been pushed back on at times. Without our insistence, we did find that agendas were not being provided until we walked into the actual meeting at times. And walking in blind to a meeting is disempowering. It came to a head this week with some general communication issues. So we found out that the City of Perth Administration had decided to amend the terms of reference without the advisory group's knowledge. So that is a motion that is here tonight. I don't think it's realistic for council to pass a half-baked motion that provides an open check without council oversight. Recommendation two, so that's just underneath the plan.
9 minutes, Paul. 9 minutes.
Hands over control to the advisory of the advisory group from the community to the administration. So from an accountability standpoint, we don't want to see that happen. I'm going to move on from that now and just say, look, I'm urging the council to vote against the secondary recommendation proposed by staff, which is listed under 12.3. As stated in the terms of reference, any changes to the terms of reference or management of this advisory group need to be jointly agreed to and developed by the chairs with the City of Perth Administration before going to council. That hasn't been done. Now, I won't leave this on a sour note. So I'll reiterate the incredible opportunity before us. The true path to true equality for the LGBTIQA plus community is a long and sometimes arduous one. It often happens inch by inch, fight by fight, and there is no sprint in this journey. But sometimes, on nights like this, we take a significant step, a leap on the path. This is thanks to the persistent and passionate work of your advisory group. Tonight we present this plan, which is ultimately a game changer for the council and the local administration beneath it. It reaffirms the city's place as a leader within its tiers of government and perhaps a leader at a state and federal level too. Hand over to David.
David, we are at 10 minutes, so as we have said previously, it's not a 10 minutes each situation. It's the one, it is the one deputation. But I think, given the importance, fair to give you a couple of minutes if you'd like to take 2 minutes to...
Sorry, with respect, that was not clarified by governance, and we were given 10 minutes each. So I do have a 10-minute speech.
Well, that, so, sorry, when was that?
That was on Friday, and again on Monday, and again this morning at 7, at 8.30.
Let me just check with governance.
Sure, okay. I've got Mike Weaver's email on the on my phone.
Fortunately, I have governance sitting right next to me, so I don't have to go far. Just a moment, if you don't mind.
With respect, we would have changed our deputation to be able to include all the information required if we had known that there was a limit on our deputations.
Lord Mayor, I'm happy to move a motion to allow a 10-minute deputation.
Yes, motion moved, motion seconded. Councillor Coe, anyone wish to speak? All those in favour? So away you go. Thank you.
Thank you. In July earlier this year, I was proud to start my deputation with a quote from Harvey Milk that hope will never be silent. And thus I look back with a full yet heavy heart at all we have achieved and know that in order to keep hope, we now must speak out. We started this year with a firm commitment from the Lord Mayor and Council to address inequality and prejudice with an approach that would see the community empowered to enter a true partnership with the city. We thank the Lord Mayor and indeed all councillors for their respect and even arm's length restraint. It's been somewhat helpful to have enough space and oxygen to allow us to deliver a plan that is meaningful, powerful and indeed consequential. Earlier this year, I spoke how it was never an accident that forming an advisory group with 15 people from such diverse backgrounds would produce such a strong response. I went further and said that it's a response that no one should be scared of or nervous about. I continued that it was the result of being part of a passionate community, one with many hopes and dreams. And I reminded council and its administration that at the end of the day, these are ones of diversity, ones of inclusion, and ultimately one of equality. Things that no one should recoil from. Values that we can all embrace and indeed use it as a model for authentic community partnerships that truly deliver lasting benefits for people across our city. 12 months on, this document shows that this city, its councillors and its community have stepped up to the mark and worked together in partnership. And the result is a commitment to not just words, but rather to taking meaningful and consequential action. None of this would have been possible without your leadership. None of this would have been possible without you allowing a transparent and community-driven process. And indeed, none of this would have been possible without the goodwill and faith that follows. It's one where we hope to land with something to aspire to, a process and a model of community chairing that we literally fought and carved out as our own. One that could be so easily replicated to provide not just hope, but to activate many different subsets of our city where we struggle to come up with solutions that have real buy-in and take-up. This lack of buy-in is because we often disempower our own stakeholders at the thought that it needs to be a controlled process, a checkbox exercise, or simply one that is risk-averse. However, this is not the kind of hope we dreamt of when we glimpsed the agenda a few days ago. And thus, this is not the deputation I originally envisaged to give to you today. What we see in the agenda is a blatant poison pill. tactically timed in the form of a second recommendation that attempts to shift power and oversight away from council and allows for staff to radically restructure the advisory group without genuine collaboration, with zero meaningful consultation and absolutely no collaboration or co-development. Councillors, what you have before you is evidence of evasive tactics, gross misrepresentation, and worst of all, a regurgitation of all the goodwill that we brought to the table. Pathetic and a miserable attempt to shut down community engagement. Our singular goal as community chairs has been to ensure that the advisory group has a two-way dialogue and partnership with the city. This has faced many roadblocks and pushbacks from staff who refuse to empathise with that approach or are simply outright resistive. I don't know whether this is due to a lack of leadership or whether this is instead learnt from leadership. I suspect the response will reveal the distinction. No one wants to air their dirty laundry, but it's with much sadness that instead of extolling the benefits of the plan, we are instead defending the processes. The processes that have produced such historic work, so unique and so universally acclaimed, that we strongly believe that this model should survive into the future. It's not our intention to call people out. We have zero interest in doing so. It is a complete distraction to our aims of achieving community outcomes. But being backed into a corner, we must call out process failures to ensure that future pathways retain integrity, authenticity, and legitimacy. Paul and I have committed ourselves to take the many lessons learned from the past 9 months, and we will produce an independent chairperson's report to detail the many process failures, with the hope that the city administration will respond in a fair and proactive way that can be done internally and with us rather than excluding us. We have long advocated for the need for community chairing, especially in the LGBTIQ space, where autonomy and self-empowerment are values that we have built and defended for decades. While we have always had staff facilitate meetings, the chairing has always been done on the basis that there should be independent community chairs. What is being proposed is that staff now control all three main roles, that of chairing, facilitating, and the secretariat. This is dangerous, it is damaging, and it drowns out any genuine community involvement, let alone the ability for partnership. I can proudly say that every recommendation, all 34 recommendations, came out of strong, genuine community consultation with repeated development and refinement, all based around consensus around the advisory group table. There was, however, the curious case of a singular earlier recommendation that did not work its way up from the community and appeared inserted by staff. This recommendation was for a particular administrative position to be made permanent, to the benefit of the staff member advocating for it, and in the end, the CEO called that out and left us as an advisory group to concentrate on priorities that rightfully came from the community. But throughout, it's only been because our group has pushed for timelines, pushed for milestones and areas of responsibility that we saw the document form into an actual project plan, rather than a document that would have been merely inspirational. Councillors, I cannot describe the work that would have been produced had we not railed against the early attempts to foist 15 highly skilled LGBTIQ people to fill in postcards with coloured texters in order to share their feelings. Instead, we pushed for a standard that saw consensus-based decision-making in play. This allowed for conversations that built concepts and built concepts into hard-hitting recommendations, ones that you have before you today. We want to ensure that this empowered model of community engagement works. It's worked so well to produce a powerful and meaningful plan despite the toll. and I've committed to ensure the road we tread is one paved with hope for others. We want the administration to step up. We want our plan to be the basis of actions and outcomes that meaningfully change lives and make our city a better place for all. Lord Mayor, in Pride Month, before the end of this year, we hope that we can come together to land a public launch, to give it meaning, and to commemorate the remarkable journey that this council and yourself have set into motion. Throughout this process, we told ourselves that we had nothing to lose.
9 minutes, David.
Today, I realised the only thing that was on stake all along was our integrity. It's a value I think that Harvey Milk would be proud, that by retaining hope and speaking out against silence, that we have indeed, perhaps, held on, like so many others, to our integrity from those that have come before us and whose shoulders we stand on. Thank you.
David, thank you. Appreciate that. Thank you, Councillor Fleet and Councillor Pope, for moving that motion to give you the opportunity to speak. I've got to say, some of the language there directed towards our administration was quite strong, and the tone of it I didn't necessarily appreciate on behalf of our very hard-working administration, and I feel compelled as the Lord Mayor to say that and put that on the record. I have the great privilege to work with many staff here in our administration. They are hard workers, they're people of integrity, and I think it's a cautionary note to everybody who gives a deputation here in our chamber that they show our administration and our staff, as you would do each other and fellow councillors, the respect that this chamber would deserve and indeed command. Notwithstanding, thank you for making your passionate deputation. We do appreciate it. It's important that all councillors have the opportunity to reflect. I did also want to say, I wanted to thank David and Paul Allain for co-chairing this very important advisory group. It has been important work, and it has taken us all on a significant journey, and a journey that is moving not towards a conclusion, but towards the end of its first stage. And that's how I see it. I'm sure that's how many of our councillors see it. This is not the end of the journey. This is the end of the very first chapter. And I well know how this journey began, and we're very mindful of it. So with that, I'd also like to wish Paul Allain a very happy 30th birthday. And who would have thought that you would have been celebrating here at the City of Perth? But that's pretty special in its own way.
On that drive back from Bunker.
Okay. I'll now invite councillors if anybody has any questions. Thank you.
Thanks, Lord Mayor. Thanks for the deputations. Certainly learned a lot over the last year. I know you're concentrating on the recommendation in front of us, point two. Let's for a moment take that away. You've talked a lot about the process over the year. You've mentioned three positions. City officers said that they were going to take them. Can you just go into that some more? It's the first I've heard of it, and I don't think I've read it in there around these positions.
Sorry, could you clarify what
positions? So in your deputation, you said that there were three positions that the city wanted to fill themselves.
Oh, just in terms of the overall structure of the advisory group, they would effectively be filling the roles of chairing, of facilitating, and the secretariat. So
if two goes ahead, is that what
you're saying? If two goes ahead, that's right.
Yeah.
And with respect, we've always shown respect to the staff, and we've willingly incorporated them within all meetings, but we believe that this would turn any meeting into a checkbox exercise when community members no longer have a real participatory role, where they're simply just attending.
Just a follow-up, Lord Mayor, and the CEO might have to answer it. Are you assuming that's what's going to happen, or have you been told that's what's going to happen?
It's appeared in our minutes, which were not signed off by the chairs and sent on Friday in a surprise rush in the lead-up to this meeting. The minutes contain details of a proposed change to the terms of reference that were not discussed at the meeting. They include updates, again, that were not verbalised at the meeting. We've asked for a retraction of these minutes. That's been declined. we have ourselves needed to retract these minutes because they were not a true and accurate record of what happened at the meeting 3 weeks ago.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Fleeton. Councillor Gordon.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. My question is whether you're aware of how the other advisory groups to the city are established, and it seems at this stage the other groups are advisory to the city, whereas your group's established as advisory to the council. So are you aware of that distinction, and why do you think that yours should be different? Or
I'm a firm believer that we need to raise the tide for all. I do believe that this advisory group was formed in a unique circumstance. So it was a circumstance where the city had to step up, but it's a circumstance where we shouldn't relegate ourselves in the future just because other groups decide to work under a different format. I would advocate that all groups should have be part of a strategic interest that stem from council, and that council should have an oversight role in these advisory groups.
Councillor Angie.
Thanks, Devin. So in relation to those three roles, how would you like to see that operate? A sharing of responsibility between all of you and the administration, or how would you like to ideally see that evolve?
I think that there's honestly no reason to change how we have been set up. You know, I mean, the council set up this advisory group, two chairs and a group of an advisory group chairs around it. I don't think that made any sense. Let me say that again. The council set us up, and I believe it was actually your motion, Councillor Angie, to have two chairs and then the rest of the seats of the advisory group. We do believe that that's the best optimal way to ensure that there is community engagement and to take some of these opportunities in the plan to the next level and come up with some really innovative ideas. As you can see in the plan, it's quite extensive. I do fear that if the advisory group is managed rather than innovating, had that been the case, the document itself would probably only be, you know, half the size that it is.
I'd add that at the moment we've been operating on the basis of the community participates via chairing and by contributing. We've always welcomed the positive contribution from staff to facilitate and to, of course, provide secretariat services. We honestly know that we can't do this without the staff. However, when we go with months without meetings and roadblocks and curious issues like the minutes that I mentioned, there really isn't the goodwill there to trust that all responsibilities for a meeting would all lie with staff.
Can I just say, I mean, I'm a little bit confused here, and the reason I say that is because in my 12 months in this building, rubbing shoulders with the staff and administration of the City of Perth, I have only ever found, and I appreciate that's coming from my position as Lord Mayor, but I have only ever found our administration to be enormously supportive of the LGBTQI+ community, and indeed the establishment and ongoing success of the LGBTQI+ advisory group. I know the levels of pride with which our staff have felt and celebrated the advisory group and how much of their spirit, I believe, is fostered in the advisory group. So to hear tonight that you feel that the administration is not supportive, is getting in the way, is not cooperative, I've got to say, is a surprise to me, and it has not been my experience in my own personal conversations with many of our staff who have revelled in the fact that we have been leading the way in this space with the establishment of the advisory group. So perhaps you might like to comment on that.
In July, Lord Mayor, when unfortunately you weren't able to chair one of the council meetings, I was delighted to speak towards a deputation that was congratulatory and aspiring for staff. I truly believe that staff were on a journey to come with us in building a community partnership. However, there has been serious issues. Issues such as the recent plan in front of us contains a statement where we were declined the ability to use our own words and have it attributed to us. This is a statement that is from us as co-chairs, and we were being told that we had to use the words of others. These are the roadblocks that are almost inexplicable, and perhaps I might explain it as, you know, you might love something that you hug it too tight, that you try to control the process too tightly, and in the end you suffocate it. We believe that the community needs to have a role, and that's what we're arguing for.
Lord Mayor, I would like to take this opportunity to acknowledge that, you know, Lauren, Sam, Conrad, this has been a passion project for all three of them. What we are concerned about is changing the process with which we are already operating. It's yielded amazing results. It's brought some great media attention, and it's positioning the City of Perth in a leadership role amongst other local councils and local governments. We just don't want that process to be disrupted going forward by changing the way, the accountability of it.
Okay. Are there any other questions, Councillor Leeser?
Thank you, Lord Mayor. Just one quickly. We haven't really talked about the plan. Are you happy with the plan as it's before us?
I can say the work of the plan was the work of 6 months of the beginning of the year when the community was in the driving seat. I know there's been a lot of staff changes, and I appreciate that has made it hard, perhaps even culturally, to kind of bring up to speed. But where we were in June and July is very different from where we are now. I'm proud that the recommendations have survived in full, but I'm worried where we take it. So, yes, I can fully recommend the plan and its recommendations.
Councillor Coe.
Thanks, Lord Mayor. I just want to ask the CEO a question.
I think that that has to happen during the debate.
That's right. You counsel the that's what I said before that.
Okay. Yeah.
Sorry, Lord Mayor, the item before, you said that we were able to ask the staff questions about
that. No, that was the other way.
Was it?
Yeah.
So we can't clarify anything that's been said?
You can during debate.
Okay, right. Okay.
No further questions from any councillors?
The hub. Mm. We've got a property review going on right now. I'm not comfortable with it being a standalone hub. Are you okay with it being incorporated into a broader multi-use facility?
Look, I think, to be completely honest, it's very early days. It's in the plan,
yep.
But we haven't done a feasibility study, a scoping study or anything else. That would actually take some time, obviously. You know, I'm not going to say that I agree with anything just yet, but I don't see why not. However, I do know that there is strong support for a hub of its own. I acknowledge that it wouldn't just be up to the City of Perth. I mean, this is where things grow, right? We're not going to build a new Optus Stadium tomorrow or anything like that. You know, it starts off small and then it turns into something a decade down the track or something like that, you know?
Managing expectations, yeah. That's all. These things yeah. get carried away. So as yeah. long as you know it's not going to be Optus Stadium, yeah. Yeah. That's a good start.
But if you could just sign off on Yagan Square.
Oh, no.
Just on that, I think, figuring out scope and being realistic is important. But at this stage, we're conscious that we need to bring the community with us. And in any community-type project, you need engagement, and that goes back to what we've been talking about all tonight.
Thanks again, gentlemen. There's no further questions, so we appreciate you being here, and to Paul Elaine again. Happy birthday. Thank you very much. We move to item 6, disclosures of interest. Item 6 on the agenda is disclosures of interest. The following interests have been received. A direct financial interest from the Deputy Lord Mayor Bain in relation to item 12.1 as Jeff Leach donated to the Deputy Lord Mayor Bain's campaign. An indirect financial interest from Councillor Bevan in relation to item 12.1 as he and his wife own Friends Restaurant and are customers of the boutique. The Pierces are customers at Friends Restaurant. An indirect financial interest from Councillor Fleeton in relation to item 12.2 as West Tech Fest is hosting an event at Beaumont on the Point, who donated to Councillor Fleeton's election during 2020. An impartiality interest from Councillor Angie in relation to 12.2, and she was requested by the City to attend West Tech Fest in 2020 to present a speech. Subsequently, she met with representatives of West Tech Fest on the 17th of March 2021, the 24th of June 2021, and the 22nd of July 2021. Councillor Angie attended a third meeting at Council House with the Lord Mayor and CEO in attendance, where the potential for an extended West Tech Fest, a tech week, was discussed. All meetings were prior to grant application. And an impartiality interest has been noted for myself in relation to item 12.2, as I was in attendance with Councillor Angie at one of the meetings with the applicant prior to the grant application being received. Do any elected members have any further disclosures of interest from the floor? Okay. Item 7. We move to minutes. Would anybody like to move a motion to confirm the minutes of the ordinary council meeting held 28 September 2021 and the two special council meetings held 19 October 2021? Thank you, Councillor Bevan. Second to Councillor Leza. Can we put this to a vote? All those in favour? Carried unanimously. Thank you. Item 8, questions by members which due notice has been given. There are none. Item 9 is correspondence. None. Item 10, petitions. No petitions have been received. And item 11, Planning and Economic Development Alliance reports. There are none tonight. Item 12, Community Development Alliance reports. 12.1 is Business Improvement Grant Program financial year 2021-22. Financial interest from Deputy Lord Mayor Bain and Councillor Bevan have been received. And I'll ask you now both to depart the chamber. I forgot you to close the doors on the way out. Thank you. Would anybody like to move a motion to deal with this item? Thank you, Councillor Gobbett. Seconder, thank you, Councillor Coe. Councillor Gobbett, Councillor Coe, anybody else wish to speak? Perhaps you should have asked this before. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. Thank you. We can open the doors, can we? We can. Item 12.2 is event sponsorship as we welcome back our councillors. 2021-22, 32 Degrees South Group Proprietary Limited, West Tech Fest. Councillor Fleeton, indirect financial interest has been received. Thank you. If you'll depart the chamber. And Councillor Angie, impartiality interest has been received also from me to the Lord Mayor at this point. Impartiality, that's right. Would anybody like to move a motion to deal with this item? Thank you, Councillor Gobbett. And do we have a seconder? Thank you, Councillor Leza. Councillor Gobbett, nothing to say. Councillor Leza?
I have a question, Lord Mayor.
Sure.
In our papers, on point 10, it says the panel agreed the minimum score threshold of 70% would be appropriate. In the rest of our papers don't actually show what the percentage score was for this proponent. Could I please have that comment?
Sure. Thanks, Councillor Leza. CEO.
Thank you, Lord Mayor, and to the General Manager, Community Development.
Sorry, I don't have the actual number in front of me, but in terms of the threshold has been met as per the report.
Thank you, Councillor Leza. Councillor Angie.
Yeah, I just had a few questions. I submitted them prior to the answer.
Thank you. Now, Yeah, feel free to answer those questions. Yeah.
Okay, thank you. So a couple of the questions were covered by the responses to the deputation. One of my other questions was, I note the administration's statement this application was received as an unsolicited bid on 24th of August, not an events application. However, it was assessed as an events application. Have specific criteria been developed for the unsolicited bid category?
CEO.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. And if I could direct to the General Manager, Community Development, and possibly for ease of other questions, if we should just...
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you. Through the Lord Mayor, specific criteria have not been developed for the unsolicited bid category, as each application is required to be assessed against clear criteria for a fair and transparent assessment. In previous years, Westech Fest have applied under the City's Economic Development Sponsorship Program, and due to the City's Sponsorship and Grants Program being on pause, the administration accepted the application under the Events Sponsorship Program due to alignment to the assessment criteria, and the ability to benchmark the application against applications submitted for round one of the event sponsorship program.
Thank you, General Manager. Councillor Angie?
Yeah, I've got a few questions.
Sure.
The next question is, I note the administration's statement that the city has a vision for Perth to be the events heart of WA from our event strategy. And under the heading of strategy on page 15 of the report, the only relevant report listed is the event strategy. My question is, are there any other documents relevant to this application? For example, just on scanning a few documents, sorry, I'm just reading this off the computer, the Strategic Community Plan, page 16, talks about a can-do reputation that delivers investment and assists small businesses and development generally through a willingness to assist and encourage. Page 18, a Strategic Community Plan, the internet has caused a remarkable expansion in digital technology and harnessing the virtual world and important to all facets of society. So in this regard, I'm just wondering if there's any other relevant strategies that should have been considered. Or could have been.
Yeah.
Through you, Lord Mayor, we've noted that the city's strategic pillars, livable, sustainable and prosperous, reflect the current priorities of this council and are referenced in the council report. I'll also make a comment that the initiatives that support continued growth and development of tech, start-up and innovation sectors will be included in the city's economic development strategy, which is currently under development.
Councillor Angie.
Thank you. One more question. Have any matched funding grants been provided by the City of Perth in the past year? That is 50-50 grants as opposed to 30-70. One I can recall is Activate Perth of $100,000 in December. Are there any other examples?
Chair.
Through you, Lord Mayor. In 2021, the City offered two grant programs with match funding. There was a business improvement grant where there were two streams to apply and non-match funding up to $10,000 and match funding up to $20,000, and the precinct development grants with a breakdown as follows. So the business improvement grants, there were 8 non-match funding grants up to $10,000 and 8 match funding grants up to $20,000. The Activate Perth precinct development grant was $100,000 for Fill This Space. The council has also endorsed a City Foreshore Investments proposed extension to the On The Point jetty for $139,000, but the applicant has since withdrawn their application.
Thanks, GM.
Thank you.
You did say last one last time, but that's okay.
Sorry. The last question is, what does the city currently do to support the growth of the tech sector in Perth? That is, what are specific city initiatives? In this regard, I know a few examples of tech initiatives across the country. For example, the City of Sydney's Tech Startup Action Plan, City of Melbourne's Emerging Technology Test Beds, Brisbane Business Hub for Startups, and others.
CEO.
Thank you very much, Lord Mayor. If I could invite the General Manager, Planning and Economic Development, to respond.
Sure. So in addition to the West Tech Fest, we've supported the establishment of early co-working spaces, including Space Cubed and other underutilised spaces in the city. We've supported the work of Startup WA, which has included Startup Ecosystem Reports in 2016 and 2020. We're a supporter of Startup News. We've worked with the Perth Angels on a variety of initiatives, including their Angels Breakfast, and also an Angel Investing Masterclass session. as well as commissioned a report into how to unlock further investment with Perth Angels into our tech ecosystem. We've also supported hackathons and other programs, including Startup Weekend and Founder Institute. We've worked with startups across industry verticals such as MedTech and PropTech, and given funding towards the development of research into the growth and development of Perth's startup ecosystem. The city has been accompanied by members of Perth's startup industry to attend the Global Innovation and Entrepreneurship Fair in Chengdu, one of our sister cities, to give exposure and international trade opportunities to local startups. We also have a reciprocal agreement with a startup body in Houston, which allows startups to travel to Perth and utilise their office space and vice versa. And we've also supported initiatives for the continued growth and development of the tech startup and innovation sectors, which will be included in the city's economic development strategy, which is currently under development.
Thanks, General Manager. We're also live streaming our council meetings, which in some way fits into that space, which is excellent. Thank you for that response. Was there any more?
Thank you, Lord Mayor.
Can I just at this point, Deputy Lord Mayor, do you mind just popping up here, please, because I am busting to go to the Lord.
Thank you, Deputy Lord Mayor. So I'd like to move an amended motion. I've put this forward to the administration previously so they have the words for the screen. So I'll read that out. So that the council approves an event sponsorship to 32 Degrees South Group Proprietary Limited for West Tech Fest, totalling $125,000 excluding GST, comprising $120,223 cash contribution and up to $4,777 in-kind support for city fees and charges. And this was calculated by the administration as 50% funding.
Thank you, Councillor Angie. Can you check the screen and make sure it reflects what you're after?
Thank you.
Do we have a seconder for the motion? The amended motion? Seconder, Councillor Coe. Councillor Angie, do you want to give your reason for the amendment?
Thanks, Deputy Lord Mayor. So tech is not only an important but a critical global sector, with the largest companies in the world being tech companies, as outlined in the deputation. Again, think of Canva and what great ambassadors they are for Perth, and they started at West Tech. As I noted in my questions, other cities across Australia have plans to attract tech, and it's great to see some of the initiatives that the City of Perth is currently supporting, as outlined by the administration previously. I recently met someone who had just relocated to Perth from Copenhagen. So the tech company that she worked for in Copenhagen had plans to move to Singapore. When COVID hit, they diverted to the safe shores of Perth. As pointed out in the deputation, this is the point in time that we need initiatives like this to drive tech investment and tech startups to Perth to grow their businesses. We need more people to know that Perth is a tech hub, and this is just the kind of event to do this. To be honest, I knew nothing about West Tech or tech until I was sent along by the City of Perth to deliver a speech at last year's event. By talking to people at the event, I found out more and was so impressed by the West Tech story. By way of background, because this wasn't in the papers, and for those of you who might not know anything about it, like I didn't last year, it was founded in 2011, and it's the premier annual innovation technology conference for WA, attracting founders, tech leaders and investors from Australia, US, UK and Asia. Now in its 10th year, West Tech has successfully grown from a one-day conference to a genuine multi-day festival that is a hallmark event for the local innovation ecosystem. The festival program content combines entrepreneurship, investment and technology with high-level networking events bringing together business, education and community. Prior to the COVID pandemic, the event organisers placed significant effort in attracting interstate and international investors to come to Perth to see the talent, expertise and potential investment opportunities firsthand. Through the involvement of Bill Tye, a Silicon Valley-based global venture capitalist and adjunct professor of innovation and economic development at Curtin University, the event has created strong linkages and relationships with leading entrepreneurs and investors from Silicon Valley. An early investor in companies such as Twitter and Zoom, Bill Tye has been instrumental in the development of Perth's startup ecosystem, having invested in a number of Perth-based startups and assisting successful funding rounds for companies such as Canva. Even, for example, in 2020, West Tech program featured a fireside chat via Zoom with Bill Tye interviewing CEO and founder of Zoom, Eric Ewan. People in Perth would not otherwise have these opportunities. In recent years, organisers seized on the opportunity presented by Perth's location within the Indian Ocean to increase promotion of the event with delegates from key markets such as Singapore, Malaysia, Indonesia, Hong Kong and China, and taking this live stream online, as we are tonight, when COVID made this not possible. I understand the event also promotes Perth's great lifestyle. I recall being told by one of the founders last year that Perth was ideal for this event, with people, when borders opened to the world, could come from all over the world to experience not only tech, but also things like windsurfing and our great climate and outdoors lifestyle. It's for all of these reasons and the reasons provided in the deputation that, in closing, I urge my fellow councillors to support this amendment on its merits and support the motion. The sponsorship is modest when we compare to the potential benefits outlined. To draw a comparison, the Targa West that we sponsorship we approved, you know, just a few months ago was $93,000. It's just one example. At the Lord Mayor's Brand Perth Forum on the theme of City of Lights, one attendee talked about Perth being the city of bright ideas. This event attracts bright ideas and bright people. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Angie, and thank you also, Deputy Lord Mayor, for occupying the chair for a brief moment. My apologies. Councillor Coe, as the seconder of the amended motion, would you like to have your say?
Councillor Angie, put all of this into great words. I feel I myself love technology, and I actually studied computer science. This sort of stuff gives opportunity for young people to participate, bring their ideas forward, and actually get involved in things like technology, which is one of the most renewable industries you can think of. Being a programmer is one of the most renewable occupations you can ever do. So I believe this event we'll be able to put Perth on the international stage, and with the increase in funding, I'm hoping that the organisers will be able to give us a great event.
Thank you, Councillor Coe. Is there anybody else that wishes to speak for the motion?
I have a couple of questions.
Amended motion. Yes, Councillor Gobbin.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. Just a few questions. The budget implication, or the financial implications in point 16 of the report notes that we have a $1 million total budget amount for event sponsorship. And the officers have proposed 54, noting that Councillor Angie's motion would effectively put 120 of that as cash. What other events are, for lack of a better phrase, at risk of not being delivered, or are we likely to see any of the city's events drop off or external events drop off? What's the implications of
this? Thanks, Councillor Gobbin. CEO.
Thank you. To the General Manager, Community Development.
Thank you. Through the Lord Mayor. The city events are separate, so the signature events are through a separate budget and they won't be affected by any decision that could be made today. And in terms of the other events, in terms of what could be forthcoming, we're not aware of all events that could be put forward. And obviously we're going through a review of the next phases of programs. So any reduction in budget will obviously reduce the available expenditure for the rest of the year.
Thanks, Chair. Was there another question, Councillor Gobbin?
No specific events that we're aware of that could be impacted.
Okay. Thank you.
My other follow-up question, I guess, isn't relevant, but if the city does become aware, are we able to flag an additional budget amount during the mid-year financial review to perhaps plug that gap if council does decide to increase the funding for the event?
CEO.
If I could direct to the project right for strategic finance with regards to that.
Thank you very much, with Chair. Council always has the opportunity to consider its budget position and make an amendment. I would merely offer a caution around spending what we're not sure we actually currently have.
Thank you. Yes, Councillor Gobbin.
One final question then. Sorry, putting it. Oh, look, I think I'll leave it for now.
Okay. Yeah, you can take it, you know. Councillor Gordon, you're speaking against?
I would also like to ask some questions.
Certainly.
Does the city have a copy of last year's attendance figures, and how do they compare to the 3,300 people forecast to attend this year?
Thank you, Councillor Gordon. CEO?
To the General Manager, Community Development, please.
Thank you. Now, I don't have the exact details to hand, and the application that we assess is more dependent on what they're putting forward, noting that there are a number of new events. The program is slightly different from the previous year.
Councillor Gordon.
And would the forecast figures normally include partnership events or just the main events?
Steve. Oh, Gina.
Thank you. Through there, the budget that was provided was the $250,000 for their events, so that was what was provided in their submission.
Thanks, Chair. Can we go back to Councillor Gordon? Question, is it?
Yeah.
Councillor Gordon, were you done? Okay. Councillor Gold.
Sorry, Lord Mayor, I remember.
No apology necessary, Councillor Gold. It's your chamber as much as mine.
For a lot of our events, we get some information on return on investment and direct economic impact. What's the likelihood, or what sort of information are we likely to get from the applicant, or indeed from the event, from the city's own information, to increase the funding to this amount?
CEO.
To the GM Community Development?
It is noted that in terms of the submission, and there is a comment on the end of page 14 of the item saying that there's no clear indication of previous success, customer satisfaction or demonstration of quality, so it was only attendance figures provided. It is recommended project evaluation data is mandatory and sponsorship agreement and acquittal be outcome-based with sufficient evidence, so that's something that we can clarify further.
Yeah, and is that something that we can just require as a right with the amendment as we see it now, or is that some follow-up information that we can request, or do we need to mandate that through this amendment?
Yeah.
That is something that we can identify when we go through the process of advising them of any of the decisions by council. And I'd also just add that this is really the end of the previous structure for the grants and sponsorships, in terms of we will be more outcome focused for the future ones, such as the local activation grants currently available.
Thank you. Now, is there anybody who wishes to speak for the amended motion? Is there anybody who wishes to speak against the amended motion? Councillor Gordon.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. I just always like to note that the city has policies and processes in place for various reasons, but mainly to ensure consistent decision-making. And on this occasion, to increase the funding to 50% is not in line with our previous decision-making. I note in the officer's report, it said the application lacks sufficient evidence or justification for a substantial funding increase, including limited demonstration of how the 2022 event will have increased capacity, reach, attendance and outcomes. Also note that the 2019, 2020 and 2020-21 acquittal report contains no evaluation data, only attendance figures, with no clear indication of previous success, customer satisfaction or demonstration of quality. If we're just looking at the figures for the main event, we're talking 350 people. The officer's recommendation already has that at $165 a head of ratepayers' money. But if we're increasing it, that's $357 per head, which is seemingly excessive. Normally match funding grants are up to $20,000. They target a different area. So if we're proposing to match this funding, it's inconsistent with the current processes of this local government. So the state government putting in $20,000 and the federal government putting in $10,000, so why our ratepayers will now be required to contribute $125,000, again, just to me, seems excessive. So I'm happy with the officer's recommendation because it's in line with our previous decision-making.
Thanks, Councillor Gordon. Is there anybody else that wishes to speak for the amended motion or against the amended motion? Councillor Angie, to close the debate.
Thanks, Lord Mayor. Just addressing some of the issues raised by fellow councillors. So in terms of budget, as clarified by the administration, there is remaining budget left in the pool of funds available for sponsorship. So that, you know, it's up to us to consider where that budget's applied. In terms of numbers, I think it's clear that this type of event is something that is not necessarily purely based on numbers, but something that profiles our city in terms of it being a possible tech heart, global tech heart in the world, and the opportunities that are available in Perth for startups in terms of lifestyle and other things. And I think I covered that sufficiently and at length in my initial statements, but this is not purely about driving numbers of people into the city. Yes, there will be people coming in for the free events, but it's about creating identity and brand for our city as a smart city, as I said before, a city of bright ideas. And there is a precedent for match funding. This did come through the unsolicited bid category, and as we saw, you know, for example, on a similar scale, the Activate Perth match funding of $100,000. So although it is different, it's come through a different category, we are currently in the process of an entire reset of our sponsorship strategy and policy, and the administration is working through that at the moment. So I think it's up to the council in this instance to set the direction of, you know, what we would like to see in terms of sponsorship and policies. In terms of information, you know, often it's the case that there's been amendments to items of sponsorship. Just one that comes to mind, for example, I recall Clamps of Fleet and proposing a motion increased funding to the Christmas pageant, I think a couple of meetings ago, and there's been another of other amendments. So, you know, these amendments happen. I think if we started as a council passing the entire agenda on block, I think that's not what we're here to do. We're here to ask questions, we're here to look at the big picture, and we're here to set the strategic direction for our council. So again, as I said before, I urge my fellow councillors to support this great initiative for Perth that celebrates Perth as a smart city, as a place for tech.
Thanks, Councillor Angie. So I'll now vote on the amended motion. All those in favour of the amended motion? That is Councillor Coe, Councillor Angie and Councillor Bevan. All those against the amended motion? That's Councillor Leeser, Councillor Glover, the Lord Mayor, Deputy Lord Mayor and Councillor Gordon. The amended motion has been lost 5-3. So we now return to the primary motion. My understanding it was while I was absent, but Councillor Gobbett and Councillor Leeser have had the opportunity to speak and chose not to, am I right? Is there anybody else that wishes to speak for the primary motion or against the primary motion? We'll now put the primary motion to the vote, unless Councillor Gobbett wished to close out the debate. All those in favour of the primary motion? And that is carried unanimously, or yes, it is unanimous, isn't it? Exit. Thank you. We could let Councillor Fleeton come back in. Affectionately, we call him Fleeton here. Term of endearment. He loves it. Oh, dear. We move now to item 12.3, final LGBTQIA plus plan 2021-2024, and no interests have been declared here. I note that. So firstly, could I have somebody to move a motion to deal with this item? Councillor Robert,
I'd like to move a alternate motion with the effect being the officer's recommendation minus 0.2.
And just one moment, please. Okay, could I have a seconder there, please? Councillor Bevan. Councillor Gobbett.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. And just briefly, I know we have had a bit of history on this plan as it has been presented to us before going out for comment. And I'll keep my comments brief to the point of part two. In my experience, when council creates an advisory group or a committee, the terms of reference are set by the council for a reason, and it is that they are to advise the council. I'm quite happy with the terms of reference to remain as being set by the council. I think that it would set a bit of a precedence that I'm not comfortable with personally, and I would like to retain that oversight. I'm not prepared to delegate that function to the administration. So I think that there's a lot to celebrate and acknowledge that has gone into the plan as it is, and I think we're on the right track, so I'm comfortable with proceeding with the officer's recommendation, part one only. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Gobbett. Councillor Bevan was the seconder.
Nothing further to add, thank you.
Is there anybody that wishes to speak for... Yes, Councillor Kai.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. I just want to say thanks, Councillor Gobbett, for your comments. I think we just need to make it clear that the Council cares about what happens in this committee, and we want to know what's going on. So I would like to actually attend the next meeting when that actually happens. I'm in support of the plan, and I would like to see point two redacted at this stage. And let's see how we go. Let's try and make the best of this we can.
Thank you, Councillor Curry. Is there anybody who wishes to speak against the motion? Councillor Good, you.
I just want to jump in and speak for it.
Okay. Well, in that case, anyone else, anyone wishes to speak for?
Yes, please.
Yeah.
Oh, I'd just like to congratulate the advisory group and our staff on the plan that they have presented to us. It's very well considered, and obviously a lot of work has gone into it. Potentially some areas ambitious, but let's work towards delivering them. I will support Councillor Gobbett's alternate motion, not necessarily because I agree with everything that's been said. Local government is a heavily regulated environment, and it can bring out frustration because you think the administration are working against you when, in fact, they are trying to work with you to deliver the same thing, but they are just more familiar and more confined in terms of how they operate. So it can be frustrating. Removing recommendation two means it can be revisited at a later date, and perhaps that can be better consulted with you or better consulted with me so I can understand why that's the desirable outcome. So that is why I will support the alternate motion.
Thanks, Councillor Gordon. Is there anybody else that wishes to speak? Well, firstly, is there anybody that wishes to speak against the alternate motion? I asked that already, I think. Anybody else that wishes to speak for? Councillor Angie.
Thanks, Lord Mayor. Yes, I just in favour of the amended motion, I guess I think we saw the passionate response in the deputations about having, I guess, a sense of control over the advisory group. So if we're talking about genuine engagement, then, you know, if that's what we need to have genuine engagement, then I think we should keep that arrangement in place. Because I do recall the meeting earlier on in the year where we had, could only describe it, the beautiful deputation in support of both the process and the plan, and I was so proud that, you know, to see the community pleased with the opportunity to work with the city together hand in hand. And there does seem to have been some kind of misunderstanding in the interim, so it'd be good to keep that up. And just as a final point, I'm just pleased that this whole thing has been managed to be completed in a year. I remember putting this up as a notice of motion. I think it was exactly this time last year. So to think we've come a very long way in just 1 year from when that notice of motion went up. So thank you, everyone.
Thank you, Councillor Angie. Anybody else for? Yes. Councillor Bain.
Thank you, Lord Mayor.
Deputy Lord Mayor, sorry.
It's all right. Just going to die. I'd like to support Councillor Gobbett's motion because until and unless elected members are convinced that the committee is functioning at a level which we're all comfortable with, it would be prudent for any decisions to alter its terms of reference to be brought back to elected members for ratification and not to be determined by the CEO or the staff only. I'll just add that I'm a bit concerned at what I've heard tonight regarding the governance of these meetings, especially when I've seen how hard the CEO has worked to deliver her program of an evolution to excellence. Agendas and minutes are basic governance essentials and should be taken very seriously. And personally, I'd like to see the minutes of all our city committees going forward, if that's possible. Thanks.
Thank you, Deputy Lord Mayor. I just had a question to ask. CEO, there are a number of advisory groups within CFO, and are they structured differently? Does the Chief Executive Officer have the right to review and amend those other advisory groups' terms of reference?
Mostly these advisory groups are under the Community Development Alliance, so if I could refer to the General Manager.
Sure.
Thank you. The other advisory groups that support council-endorsed plans are all structured in the way of administration chairing and doing the agenda and the minutes. And for the Elders Advisory Group and the Access Inclusion Advisory Group, and we also have a Culture and Arts Advisory Group that's the same in terms of chaired by administration. Terms of reference are also done administratively. Thank you.
Thank you. Were there anybody else that wished to speak for or against?
Just a few comments, Lord Mayor, if that's right. Speaking in favour, but I just want to address a few things that came up in the deputation more broadly. So it's an advisory group. It's not an extension of council. The committee members are bound by code of conduct, and I'm aware of the comedy of me lecturing people on code of conduct. But one thing that needs to be remembered in this environment is we've already talked about the hub, and there are lots of competing interests in the city of Perth. It's finite resources. It's a great plan. As I said before, I've learnt a lot. But we need to be mindful that we all need to pull in the same direction. This advisory group needs to teach the nine people around this table and help us along the way. I don't want to get into a situation where we're competing against each other. So I just wanted to point that out. Happy with the terms of reference being set by council. Happy with Councillor Gobbett's amendment.
Thank you, Councillor Fleeton. Is anybody else for or against? Given the passionate nature of the deputations, and I did say what I had to say earlier, in defence of the staff generally, well, not defence, but in support of the staff generally, I do think it might be appropriate here to give the General Manager an opportunity if there was any points that were raised in those deputations. There was some strong sentiment expressed there, and I think it's the fair thing to do, General Manager, to give you the opportunity if there's any points you may wish to clarify.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. In terms of the deputation and in terms of the item coming forward, I want to start by saying the organisation highly values all the advisory groups and is particularly pleased with this plan and the progress that's been done and the involvement and commitment from all of the advisory group members. So that goes without any need to go further into that, but we would not have the plan we have today if it wasn't for all advisory group members. The second point I would make is that we acknowledge that the advisory group was a very unique circumstance because we didn't have strategic direction. So there was no plan in place, and the purpose for which council set up, that was done in December. I believe that the advisory group has really exceeded the expectations there in delivering both the diversity, inclusion and equity framework and also this plan. My third point is, I suppose, that a couple of comments just for clarity. The terms, there was a comment that we've amended the terms of reference. We actually met with the advisory group on the 6th of, where are we now, October? The year is flying. On the 6th of October. And we took them through the structure for the elder advisory groups and highlighted that for those advisory groups, there is already a structured plan, and the role of the advisory groups is then to help administration deliver the actions that have been endorsed by council in that strategic plan. So the reference was not that we would change the terms of reference, and that was why we explained that we would put it back to council for council to make a decision of how they wanted the advisory group to proceed. In terms of the emphasis from a different phase, in terms of development of the strategy, we spoke with the advisory group about the use of the other advisory groups and things like the Aboriginal Advisor Group, where we, the Elders Advisory Group, which has helped us do innovations like the Yakadandji Nullabidi Agreement, which is completely outstanding, innovative, but is done in the advisory group format through administration. That was explained in a way to try and focus and say that no matter how the structure is, as determined by council, we will continue to want to work innovatively and in a leadership role to make a difference, and we want to do that together. The last comment I'd make is in terms of, I think there was a comment in regard to the chairs not being provided opportunity to make the statement in the plan that they wanted. There was a statement in the original draft plan that I think actually went out or just prior, and the co-chairs had then advised administration they wanted that statement to be revised. You'll notice in the item that we actually refer to that that statement was amended, and administration took the effort to go out to all the advisory group members and get their endorsement of whether the change was supported, and the majority of the members supported the change, so it was implemented in the final plan. Under the existing terms of reference that were set by council, it was clearly stated that the agenda was to be developed in consultation with the co-chairs, but it also said that the minutes were to be done by and confirmed by the advisory group themselves. So our custom and practice for the minutes has been to provide the notes, unconfirmed minutes, to the advisory group for them to confirm. So we are complying with the terms of reference, and we believe that if there's any misconstrued items in there, that it is something that the group need to confirm their interpretation as well, so that we are very much trying to use all of the advisory group members fully in the development of the plan and in the feedback. Happy to take on board any further opportunities for improvement or consultation, but we are very focused on, irrespective of what decision is here by council, that we work collaboratively in leadership, innovatively for the good of the community. So thank you.
Thank you, General Manager. I appreciate that clarity there. Just before we put it to the vote, if there's nothing further for anybody for or against, is there a council member?
To close today.
Yes, okay. Please.
Yeah, just picking up on, I think, Councillor Coe's point. I don't personally see an issue with elected members or other staff being invited along as observers to the advisory group to watch, to learn, to gain insight into how the group functions. I personally don't see a problem with that, although I have taken the points of other elected members being directly involved as the chair or as a member. I think, look, yeah, lesson learned for me, that's probably a step too far. But observing, I don't see a problem with that at all. And I would echo the comments of Councillor Gordon in that a lot of the things that we do in this industry, not just local to this local government, but I would say that with 8 years' experience as an elected member, is frustratingly long-term, and sometimes you just have to take that one in the chin and just accept that things take time to do. So although there's a lot of good things in this plan, I would just counsel to say be prepared to work to that over a long period of time. Although, as we have heard tonight, some things can be done quicker than others, so particularly with events. Look, again, I'm wanting to echo Councillor Bain's points in that I think the council absolutely needs to retain that, or not divest that delegation, and until that I can be personally satisfied that the group is functioning well and we're getting the right advice, that I would want to retain that oversight. So with that, I'll close and ask for my fellow elected members' support. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Gold. We'll put it to the vote. Just before we put it to the vote, can I thank you both, Paul, Elaine and David, for your very kind letter dated September 9, which I think fellow councillors also were the recipients of. So we will put this to the vote now. All those in favour? They are councillors. Lee. Oh, it's unanimous. Thank you very much. It is unanimous. Thank you, everybody. Okay. We move to 12.4, City of Light, 60th anniversary. Would anybody like to move a motion to deal with this item? Thanks, Councillor Gobbett, in your favourite event space now. And seconded by Councillor Leza. Thank you, Councillor Leza. Anybody wish to speak for Councillor Gobbett? Just Councillor Leza, firstly. Councillor Leza, anything you'd like to say? Councillor Angie.
I just had a question. So in the report, it says there's 10,000 that's come from the Heritage Perth weekend. I just, given that that's like a much smaller overall budget, so it's a much bigger proportion of that budget, is there a reason that 10 grand was taken out of Heritage Perth and not that 10 grand just didn't come out of that overall bigger budget of Australia?
See ya.
sorry, what was
the question? So $10,000 for this $175,000 appears to have come from the Heritage Perth weekend.
Yeah, it's just that that's a small budget event already. So
and is there a reason why it's come from Heritage? Thank you to our guests tonight.
Happy birthday. Can I please invite the General Manager Community Development to respond to that?
Yeah.
Thank you. We actually believe there's some savings in terms of how we're doing our marketing. We did quite a lot of hard catalogue collateral last time, and particularly what we have found with some other festivals is having it online is the quicker as the events change. It was also a very well-structured, great event. So we have got quite a lot of foundations there, so we believe that those savings won't impact on the outcome.
Thanks, GM. Was there anybody else that wished to speak for or against? And Councillor Gobbett, you didn't wish to say anything. Let's put it to a vote then. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. Thanks, everybody. Item 13, Infrastructure and Operations Alliance reports. There are none. 14, Corporate Services Alliance reports. 14.1 is monthly financial report for August 21. Would anybody like to move a motion? Thank you, Councillor Fleeton, to deal with this. Seconder. Thank you, Councillor Leeser. Councillor Fleeton, anything you wish to say? Councillor Leeser, anybody else? We'll now vote on this. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. Thank you. Item 14.2, schedule of accounts paid. Would anybody like to move a motion to deal with this item? Thanks, Councillor Leeser. Seconder, Councillor Gordon. Councillor Leeser, no. Councillor Gordon, no. Anybody else? Well, this motion being unopposed, we'll declare it carried unanimously. 14.3, special budget review, July to September 2021. Councillor Fleeton, thank you. Seconder? Councillor Bevan? Nothing. Councillor Bevan, anyone else? This motion being unopposed, I'll declare it carried unanimously. Item 15, Chief Executive Officer Reports. Item 15.1, Appointment of Elected Members to External Bodies. So I am going to move an alternate motion here. We should read this. I'm going to ask, can I ask you to read it to save my voice, if you don't mind? Thank you.
That Council, 1, notes a membership of the Lord Mayor to the following: 1.1, City of Perth Committee; 1.2, Capital City Planning Committee; 1.3, Council of Capital City Lord Mayors; 1.4, Lord Mayors Especially Fund; 1.5, Western Australian Local Government State Council in an ex officio capacity; 0.2, notes the statutory membership of the Lord Mayor and Deputy Lord Mayor to the City of Perth Committee in accordance with the City of Perth Act 2016; 0.3, appoints Councillor Gobbett to the Mindari Regional Council; 0.4, appoints Councillor Fleeton as member and Councillor Bevan as a deputy member to the Tamala Park Regional Council; 0.5, nominates Councillor Leeser for consideration of the Minister to appoint to the Central Perth Land Redevelopment Committee; 0.6, nominates Councillor Leeser as number 1, Councillor Coe as number 2, Councillor Gobbett as alternate number 1, and Councillor Fleeton as alternate number 2 for the consideration of the Minister to appoint to the Perth Local Development Assessment Panel; 0.7, appoints Councillor Coe to the Metropolitan Regional Road Group; 0.8, appoints Councillor Gobbett and Councillor Leeser as members of the Western Australian Local Government Central Metropolitan Zone.
Is that all correct, everybody? Could you just check the screen, if you wouldn't mind, elected members? And then could we get a seconder if everybody's satisfied? Councillor Gordon, was there something before that?
Potentially, in the absence of a deputy of the Wowga Central Metropolitan Zone, just put my name in.
Yeah. Fine. Thanks, Councillor Gordon.
The final item.
Yeah. Thank you for stepping forward for your city. Your city appreciates it. Yes, Councillor Bain. Do we need to... Councillor Bain.
I just have a question. How do we manage the transition? So I'm on the LRC, and it then needs to go to I need to resign, goes to the Minister, and then Councillor Lisa, her nomination is put up. Is that how it will work?
I see you.
We'll take some advice on that, but more than likely, yes, we'll just accept your resignation and then nominate Councillor Lisa.
So I have a meeting next week, Monday.
So this will take effect, this decision takes effect as it...
This decision takes effect as soon as Council passes the motion. So I will be absent for that meeting.
So we'll...
No. No, because then you change the name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So for that one meeting, we'll need to say that you're absent in the whilst the process is being undertaken to appoint council leader.
Thank you. Daniel wishes to clarify.
As well, this decision is to make the nomination. So it's about nominating to the minister for appointment.
So it's not the actual appointment until it's been ratified by the minister. Yeah, okay. Now, Councillor Fleeton. Yes, CEO.
Sorry, I would have thought that in stepping back, so the resignation takes effect and then the alternative. So it might be prudent for the Deputy Lord Mayor just to be absent from that meeting. I just usually have to.
In its own way, that was furious agreement on the front bench. So, Councillor Fleeton, did you wish to speak for? The seconder was Councillor... you were the seconder, Councillor Fleeton. So actually the mover, that's me. I just want to say thank you to my fellow councillors for stepping forward. This is important work. It's part of our job. It's what we're here for. We represent our ratepayers by being on these committees. It's important that we're there to hear what is being said, and it's important that we're there to advocate for our ratepayers, residents, those connected or in some way invested in our city. And I want to take this opportunity to thank all eight of you for stepping forward and doing your duty. It is greatly appreciated. And more importantly, I'm sure it's appreciated from our ratepayers. So thank you very much.
Just quickly on that, my DAP appointment expires in January. If there will be a DAP meeting before it, but I'm happy just to... I'll step out and you go as a deputy, because you're already a deputy now.
Yep.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, that's true, actually.
What's that, Councillor Fleet?
Well, Councillor Gobbett's the first deputy. Okay. If I'm not available, he gets it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Furious agreement from the back.
Oh, I like it. Love it. Love it. That's great. Is there anybody else who wishes to speak for or against? Let's put this to the vote then, shall we? All those in favour? Carried unanimously. Thank you, everybody. Where are we up to, Daniel? That's great. Exciting. 15.2, Committees of Council, Terms of Reference, Review and Appointment of Members. Yes, so there's a Lord Mayor's alternate a motion, and I'm going to ask Danielle to read that for me, please.
That Council 1 adopts the Terms of Reference for Policy and Legislation Committee as at Attachment 15.2b with the following amendment. That point 1 under membership to read, the committee shall be comprised of 3 elected members. Point 2 appoints 3 elected members to the Policy and Legislation Committee, being Councillor Angie, Councillor Fleeton, and Councillor Gordon, with Councillor Galbraith and Councillor Leeser as deputy members. Point 3 adopts the revised terms of reference for the Chief Executive Officer Performance Review Committee. Point 4 appoints Lord Mayor, Councillor Bevan, and Councillor Gordon as members, and Councillor Fleeton and Councillor Coe as deputy members to the CEO Performance Review Committee. Point 5 appoints Councillor Fleeton, Councillor Angie, Councillor Leeser, and Councillor Gilbert to the Audit and Risk Committee. And point 6 appoints the following person to the Design Advisory Committee for a term expiring 30 June 2022, or upon the establishment of a design review panel, whichever is sooner. The members are David Carrotkin.
Carrotkin.
Warren Kerr. Deputy is Peter Hobbs. Member is Chris Melsom and Andrew Howe. Deputy is Ben DeMarchi.
On par with the CEO of the citizenship ceremonies, I would say.
Stuart Pulley Blank, Deputy Tony Blackwell. We have Rebecca Moore as member, and Deputy is Melinda Payne. And for the City of Perth is the General Manager of Planning and Economic Development, and the City Architect as Deputy.
Thank you. The seconder was... Oh, we haven't got a seconder. Seconder, please. Thank you, Councillor Gordon. Nothing from me. Councillor Gordon, anything you wish to say? Anybody else wish to speak for or against? We will put it to a vote, and then thank you, all those in favour. It's carried unanimously. We are item number 16. Committee reports, there are none. Motions of which notice has been given, item 17, nil. 18, matters for which the meeting may be closed, nil. 19, urgent business. There are no items of urgent business for tonight's agenda. So with that, at 6:59 p.m, there being no further business, I officially declare the ordinary council meeting closed. Thank you, everybody.
Could we all please rise for the Right Honourable the Lord Mayor of Perth, Mr. Basil Zemplis?